We are in Perek. Perek test. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Tezvav. Vayomer Hashem Eloi Od Kach Lecha Kli Roya Evili. Hashem said to me, I want you to take another staff, a staff of a Roya Evili, a foolish shepherd. What is a foolish shepherd? A person that's not qualified. He got the job because of a racial profile, when they give someone who doesn't deserve a job because of his race. What's that called?
You mean affirmative action?
Affirmative action. Okay, a shepherd who got the job because of affirmative action. Oh, okay. He has no skills, but they gave him the job, affirmative action. Okay, it's like people get a pilot, someone flies the plane. Right? Because of affirmative action, what's going to be now? Now this is going to be, this is what we're dealing with now in this country. Surgeons and pilots are now getting jobs. This is a fact. They're getting jobs without skills. They fail the classes, but they're getting jobs to fly planes and to be surgeons because of affirmative action, because of their race and color. And that means people who are in a matzav of sakana. Okay, if the plane knows how to fly by itself, good, but if it's sakana, then people who fail the class. And a person comes and, you know, you can choose who your surgeon is, but if it's an emergency, middle of the night, you don't have a choice. So who's going to be doing the surgery? Person who got an F in the class, but he got the job because of his race and color. So that's what it says over here in this passage.
Like the early Rabbanim in America.
What?
Like the early Rabbanim.
Oh, so he's saying Rabbanim also. Affirmative action. They were Rabbanim. We don't know how to pask in the halacha, but they got their job. Affirmative action. Okay, why is the machine making this hissing sound? It's driving me crazy, the sound. Okay, maybe turn it the other way around. This feedback.
I probably have it too loud. Okay.
This machine, I never ever had mazel with this machine. I bought probably two or three of them. That's why we are. In 2 days, we're going to have our own system back in business. Okay, let's go further. So here we have a Roya Evili, a foolish shepherd. A shepherd that doesn't belong in the business. He has no business being in the business. And when we say over here Roya, we're not just dealing with a shepherd, but the owl. We're dealing over here, it's a marshal for a leader, a Rebbe. Everyone will know that the worst thing in a yeshiva today is that a Rebbe who does not belong in the classroom. A Rebbe who has a temper, a Rebbe who hates children, a Rebbe who doesn't know the first thing about education, he does no business being in the classroom, so it's not just that he doesn't do the job, he does harm. There's a difference between not being qualified for the job and just not getting the job done versus a person who has a job that does more harm than good in their job. And that's a big problem. So that Hashem said, I want you to take for yourself a kli, kachla kli, a utensil, the kli of a roya evil. We have to see what this means in much more detail in a few moments, but let's just now run to the psukim very quickly and then we'll come back, of course, we always do, and discuss them in detail. Ki hinei anochi mekim roya ba'aretz, I am going to establish a shepherd in the land, hanich chodois, that has been, hanich chodois lo yifkoid, and these two words go together, hanich chodois lo yichoid, the word nichodois means in this context, I'm reading now from the Mitzudos, I'm jumping to the Mitzudos David for a moment, hamus sorois mino eder, lo leches derech toye lo yisker bohem, the sheep, the consequence of having a shepherd who is foolish, who is not qualified, is that the sheep that get lost, okay, the sheep, 1 second, the sheep that get lost, lo yifkoid hanar, regarding the sheep that are lost. I know that's not really what the word nichodois means. Nichodois normally means been denied, but in this context it means the sheep that have been lost. Lo yifkoid hanar, lo yifkoid kama, okay, they will not be counted. Hanahar kama, hanahar lo yivakesh, the young man who is the shepherd will not seek them out. Vahanishberes, and the sheep that have a broken, that have been damaged, their legs, or they've been injured, lo yirape, will not be healed. Hanitzava lo yichalkel, the sheep that is, that those that are standing, lo yichalkel, will not, their needs will not be provided. Okay, well, those that are right in front of the eyes of the shepherd who have needs, they are standing in front of the shepherd demanding needs, will not, their needs will not be provided. Uvisar habriya yoichal, and the shepherd will secretly slaughter the fat ones and eat them for lunch, and claim that, you know, they disappeared. Ufar sehem yifareik, and their legs will be broken. Sorry.
Mafrispar
the hooves, the legs. Let's one more pasuk. Hoi roi ho elil. Woe, Hashem says to the shepherds, these foolish shepherds, Izvi Hatzayin, who have abandoned the sheep, Cherev al Zeroyoy. May a sword come upon his arm, the Al Ein Yimino, and on his right eye, Zeroyo Yavosh Tivosh, his right arm will wither, the Eino Yimino, his right eye, Koho Seche, will dim. Obviously, there's a lot of symbolism. A lot of unusual words here. Let's now go back and take this apart one word at a time. Back to Pasuk Tesvav in the Mitzvah Stavit. Pasuk begins. Vayom Hashem Eloi, Hashem said to Zechariah, Oid yikach lecha, take a kli roye evili. Mitzvah Stavit on page 827. Kli roye evili. Ritzon Eloi ma makel a staff. Ma she roye evil manhig boy esatzoin. Shehu mashchis u'ma'abed boy esatzoin. I want you to take a makel. Okay, that's the kli. What a shepherd, mashe roye evil, a foolish shepherd. The staff that a foolish shepherd uses to be manhig v'yesatzoin. What do we mean by this? It's a danger. Shehu mashchis u'ma'abed boy esatzoin. Now, what it seems like this is, what it seems, if we can say a little bit of a drush right off the bat over here, no pun intended, without a stick, we learned in the previous section that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he leads Klal Yisrael, he leads them with two staffs, a staff called Noam and a staff called Mechablim. Here we are being introduced to a third staff called a Makel, I'm sorry, not a Kli Royem Evili. So this is not Noyam, and it's not Choyvlim. Even though Choyvlim has a connotation of something which is harmful, but it's not the mate of Choyvlim in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the hand of a responsible leader, is a good tool, because at times a person does need to receive Musa. Yeah. A person needs to see Toychacha. And the connotation of a makel that's called choivlim means it's being used responsibly. A parent at times, at least in the olden days, not today, today you go to jail, but in the olden days, parents used to hit their children. And every parent that hit their children, they knew exactly what to do. They not like Goldilocks, not too soft, not too hard. There's precision in knowing exactly what the child needs to get the lesson without causing the child harm. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu led Klal Yisrael, there were times that he was pleasant, Noyam, and there's times of Choyvlim. Now we're dealing with a shepherd who's a fool, and he doesn't even have a makel. He has a kli. He is taking something which is dangerous. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't even know the power of what he has in his hands. And he's maybe not even using the appropriate utensil to guide and lead the sheep. And every time he comes in contact with the sheep, he's going to cause the sheep harm. So here is the third object that is being used to lead the sheep. When we hear this is a famous nevuah of the Noyam and Choyvlim, don't forget this pasuk Tezvav that talks about the third object that is used to lead the sheep. It's not pleasant. It's not choivlim. It's a kli of an roye evili, of a foolish shepherd, a utensil.
That reminds Achashverosh. Yeah, if he had a stamp, like a chotam, he gives it to Haman, he gives it to Mordechai, he gives it to Esther. Anybody who wants something, okay, go ahead, sign my name, and that's it. So he had.
It's irresponsible. The choisam, it's irresponsible. It's an irresponsible type of utensil. Pasuk tes zayin in the Mitzvah David. What is the consequence? The consequence of having a shepherd, of an animal being shepherded by a foolish shepherd. Pasuk Tezayin in the Mitzudas David, Ki hinei anochi mekim ritzono lemar, Ze yihye liremes, She'amid melech rosha baretz. Who are we referring to? Hordes. Hordes was the last of the last Malchus in Klal Yisrael, the last like 90 years, something along those lines of the Bayis Sheni. Ve'al Malchus beis Hordes yomar, and the details of Hordes are described in there in Masechta Bava Basra on Daf Tes, in the end of the very first parak, where it describes that Hordes, he wiped out, he killed, he murdered all of the Talmidei Chachamim. All the Talmidei Chachamim were murdered by Hordes, and there was one left, Baba ben Buta. And Baba ben Buta was blinded. Why did he survive? I don't remember. I don't remember why. Maybe because of his wife was related to the king. Something like that. That his wife, that the Hordes' wife was the sister of Baba ben Buta, perhaps, but he was blinded. And the day came when the Hordes, he wanted to see what was going on in the mind of Baba ben Buta, and he came to him in disguise, and he started talking to him. And then he asked him, and being that Baba ben Buta was blind, he did not know that the king was talking to him. And he started talking like a common man, and he said, "Why don't you curse the king? Curse him, look what he did." And Baba ben Buta said, "You're not allowed to. It is forbidden. The Nasi ba'amcha lo sa'ar." Shocking. Okay, go tell that to someone in America today. Go tell the Republican, not to curse the President of the United States. Okay, every single moment on conservative talk show radio, they're cursing with Glossa Klaus, the President of the United States. Is that proper? Well, probably everyone in this room over here is a conservative to some degree. Is it proper, the degree of language and form that we are accustomed to? I don't think so. I don't think it's the Torah way to go to such extreme. Rush Limbaugh, whoo, okay, Rush Limbaugh, he really led the pack. He led the way.
Yeah,
America, so you'll say.
Not
so,
in a vulgar way, in a mocking
he
way.
He came
perhaps.
Pretty close. You know, Rush Limbaugh, he toned down the last couple of years. I remember him many years ago. He was out of control. He was out of control. No, am I saying true? He calmed down. Last, what?
Never out of control. It depends on where you sit, you know, what your...
I think the last 10 years, he toned down a few notches. Years ago, he was really way out of control. But in any event, is it really right? There's what to be learned from the Gemara Bava. There's definitely what to be studied and learned from the Gemara Bava Basra, where you have Baba ben Buta, who was a victim. He lost his eyesight. He was blind because of Hordes. And yet he refused to say a bad word about Hordes. Why? Because Hordes is the king. He is the authority. He respectfully disagreed to an extreme. It's really hard to comprehend. And everything that he said was based on Sukkim. And Hordes kept on goading him. Do this, do this, do this, and he refused. And Hordes, at the end of the day, was overwhelmed with the integrity and the integrity of this person. And because of that, he had a change of heart. He was choyze b'shuva, and he asked Baba ben Buta what to do to be choyze b'shuva, and he gave advice: rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. And Chazal say, "Mishe loy ro'a binyan shayni, loy ro'a binyan nohe b'yamav." All because of what? It's all because Baba ben Buta refused to say a bad word about the person that destroyed all of his relatives, destroyed all of the Talmidei Chachamim, took his eyesight, because the pasuk says, "V'nasi be'amicha loy se'ar." Shocking. It's a shocking.
Respect for the office, not the man.
Respect for the office. Okay, so B'chol is saying respect for the office, not for the man. Mm-hmm. Correct. Where do you draw the line? What do you call, where do you draw the line between respect for the office and the respect for the man? The standards of the Gemara Bava Basra are very different than the standards in America of respect for the office versus the man. Very, very different. It's something definitely to be studied, to be analyzed, and how we deal with leaders who we do not like. Listen, there's obviously a limit to how far you go. No one's going to say the same thing about Hitler, Yimach Shemai B'Zichro. Okay? No one's going to... Okay, there are many stories of people that very, very attempted to assassinate Hitler, Yimach Shemai B'Zichro. a lot of these type of stories. But okay, there's what to be said. In any event, over here we have, in the Mitzvah Stavid, I will go and I will establish at the end of the Bayesheni a melech that's a Russia, Hordus. And the details of his malchus are illustrated in very great detail in the end of the first paragraph of Masechta Bava Basra. Now, hach nichodois, hamusaris mina eder, lo leches derech toye, lo yiska bohem, le hashivam el ho eder. According to the Mitzvah, the word hanichodois, the word nichodois means the sheep that are lost. The consequence of having a melech that is a rasha missing. The ones that are missing. Hanichodois. Excellent. The ones that are missing will not be searched for. When you have a king who is a rasha, he does not care about the missing, or the leader or a shepherd that's a rasha, that's foolish. He does not care about the missing sheep. Now the word hanichodois is still a word I'm not very comfortable with this word, because the word nichodos, I think in our way it's used most of the time, in our vernacular, means denial. It means that they were actively rejected. Yeah. And that's not what it means here in this pasuk, according to the Mitzvah. In this pasuk, according to the Mitzvah, it means that they got lost. The sheep on their own got lost, they disappeared, and now we have to go search a mission to go find them. Okay, but that's how we learned. The ones that are musaros no eider lachas rechtoye, they got lost. Lo yiskar b'chem l'hashivam el eider. The shepherd will not look for them. Hanar hatole. Now he learns over here. Hanar. I told you he means a shepherd. I made a mistake. He says hanar hatole horach bayomim haholechas laat v'nesheres ba'achori ho eider. The word hanar in this pasuk is really very unique. It's referring to a sheep, a young sheep. I don't think we ever had this before. Not that I know. Not that I have any memory. But the word nar in the mind of the average person means a young man, a human being. Hanar inenu itanu be'ich ele elavi, right? Hanar and Yoshua ben Nun
v'nar. Scientific name. It's a metaphor.
So saying it's a metaphor over here that we're referring over here. We're referring over here to a young sheep. That's a chiddush. That's quite a stretch.
Yeah.
In this pasuk, to use the word nar in reference to an animal, it almost seems the way the pasuk is using it according to the stuff that's not a metaphor. It almost seems to say like he's saying that this is the correct term. Nar just means a living creature that is in its youth. And we commonly, almost exclusively, use this term in reference to a human being, a living creature called a human being in its youth. We don't think of using this term in reference to a cockroach who is only a few days old, instead of being a zokain. An old, we don't think of it in that form. But in this pasuk, the way that the word nar is being used is reference to a sheep in its youth. That's quite a usage of the word nar. It really goes to show that this word is the literal translation of the word. It's not a metaphor. It really goes to show that we really don't know the language very well.
It's obviously consistent with roe. One pasuk after another.
Right, okay, so he's saying it's a metaphor, but you know, that's why I was missing. When I translated the pasuk originally, I thought the word Navi here is referring to a shepherd who is a Nar. How foolish. We're interchanging his name. We first call the shepherd an Avili, a fool, and then we call the shepherd a Nar. A Nar means, you know, the way the connotation, it says by Yosef, Vuhu Nar.
Immature.
Vuhu Nar. Rashi there gives him a jab. He was eating good meat, and he had stylish haircuts. Okay, he was like the guy you go to the barbershop, they have that nice picture of the models. That was Yosef. Next time you go to the barbershop, you see those pictures on the wall of those really nice guys. That was Yosef. Misalsel besadoi. Okay? And when you go into the restaurants, and notice they don't have pictures in the restaurants of people eating meat. Why not? Rayevsky in the meal market, do they ever have a picture of someone?
They do if they're famous. Everything
here is in a keba. Ani chadot, ani shberet, ani tzava, abriya, parsehen, and here is zachar, hana'ar.
Nar, zachar.
That's a hana'ara.
It's a good point. You're making a very good point.
Amazing. Why?
Why? See, that's why I originally thought the word nar is just another word for the avili, the roya avili. So now we're giving him another jab.
No, you're confused with the Yiddish.
We're giving him a jab, we're calling him a nar. No, that's not what the Mitzvah David says. The Mitzvah David says the word nar, he refers to a young sheep. Incredible. You know the Vart by Simchas Torah, you have Kol HaNa'odim. sometimes they give they give no
call
they give call hana orim
a
simchas Torah. Now I'm getting confused with chasan Torah. I'm getting confused. Chasan Torah, they give the chasidus chasan.
You're going to
Tzon Kedoshim? No, I'm not going to. Oh, yeah, very interesting. You're saying very good. Rabbi Chol is saying a very interesting idea that according to the Mitzvot Davar, we call in Simchas Torah there's a minog, an ancient minog, to call the children the Tzon Kedoshim. You're saying very good. And here we're dealing with Tzon, and we're calling the young sheep a Na. It's the followers. But it's very interesting. There's also a significance of called Kol Hanorim. Kol Hanorim, Hamalach HaGolos can be Kol Ra, and we also on Simchas Torah refer to the children as Tzoyin Kodoshim. So according to Rambam Chol is suggesting, based upon this Mitzvah study, the word now refers to young sheep. They go together. They actually go together. The reason why we're calling them Kol Hanorim, and there's also they're called Tzoyin Kodoshim, is because a Nar is used in Tanakh in reference to a young sheep. Isn't that amazing? Where are you going to hear that? If not in the Morning Call, by Rabbi Chol Miller.
Although this might be the only place.
What?
This might be the only place.
This is really, really unique. This is something you have to really underline with a red magic marker. This is something very unique, the way the Mitzvah stuff is using the word Nar in this pasuk. There's a lot of Torah about Nar is a big topic in the Halach, in the rabbinic literature. How old are you? Can you still be and still be called a Nar? So I think Yoshua, right. I don't remember, I can't quote you chapter and verse, but I think I once read an article on this topic, and I think there was an opinion that says even up to 92 years old, 92 years old, you're still called a Nar.
You gave us an example in Shigurim, but you know, the word, Avraham Zokain Bo Bayomim, Avraham Zokainim, it's many years apart. When did they become old? Yoshua?
It's called a Nar. Who Nar? Lo Yomush. How old was he at that point in time? Was he
Yeshua ben no Nar? So if it's the second year that they were out of Eretz Yisrael, so he died 110, and so he was 28 years Nasi, so he was over 70.
Over 70, and the Pasuk is still calling him a Nar. Yeah. Calling him a Nar. So Nar, and yeah, so it doesn't... No. They say, Shri'a Na'orim Yimbog, Eliezer and Yishmael were called Na'orim. And he had to be Yishmael had to be more than 38. Yishmael was older than by 13 years.
Right.
So he was almost 50 years old,
yeah.
And he's been called a Nar. So you see the word Nar. So on the one hand, Nar is a mature adult. On the other hand,
on the pasuk of Yetzer Lev Ha'adam Ra Mineurav, as Rashi says, I think there, Shemishenin'ar Minimimo, when he was thrown. Taken out, Zenika, but it fits here more that somebody suddenly is missing. Somebody is thrown away or something. Min army,
okay.
The Na'er, the Na'er,
it's moving. Okay, it's okay. But in this context, the way he translates it, this is very unique. What the Mitzvah stuff it says. We'll see maybe Elma Farshim soon. But it says here at least.
Why in Yiddish do they use it as a derogatory term?
I guess because of Yosef. I'm assuming it comes from Yosef because it says V'hu nar roye es b'nei bila b'nei zilpa sheavet. And there Rashi says something derogatory. He was immature. He was misalsel b'sa'ara. He was eating basar. Rashi translates the word nar in the context of Yosef in a derogatory form. And I'm assuming that stuck in the conscience of many people in Klal Yisrael, and in Yiddish, which is a language which was created, which was rooted in German, but was Judified. A lot of Yiddish, there are books on this, there are a lot of Yiddish Maamori Chazal that have been injected into the German language to make a new language called Yiddish, which has many, many flavors of Chazal, and that's one of them, that Nar, based on the Rashi that said by Yosef, became a derogatory statement. The derogatory, but it's not necessarily true because in the Yehoshua v'hu nar, and no one there says anything derogatory about Yehoshua.
Yeah, I know.
So it's a interesting thing.
A lot younger than Yehoshua.
Okay, let's go further. Let's move further. Hanah tole horach b'yam horach slat v'nisheres b'achori ha'eder. Lo yivakish esha'onav nish'adav. So the shepherd who is a fool will not do his job, will not seek him out. Hanitzava ha'choyle ha'medes b'mekayma. The word the hanitzava, he says over here, means the sick one. The one that's standing alone, standing in the corner, is not participating. A good teacher, when he sees a student is not participating in the class, is not integrated into the class with his friends, knows there's something wrong. How do you know there's something wrong with the one that is standing on the side? Is not seeking pasture. There's something that's wrong. The shepherd, it is his job to see what the problem is, and this shepherd is derelict. He is asleep at the switch. He's not doing his job. Will not go and bring food to the animal, realizing that it's ill and it's not able to get food on its own. That's the worst. Corruption. This is called corruption. That the one that's fat and delicious, instead of bringing it back to the owner to deliver, and the owner will slaughter and sell in the market and make a lot of money, the shepherd secretly slaughters it in the field when no one is watching and has a delicious lunch. A delicious lunch. It's a ganef. He's corrupt. Plain, pasha, pshutu kemashmoy, corruption in its highest form. Upar sehem yiforek b'makal yishaber. And if the animal doesn't do what it's supposed to do, violence. The shepherd resorts to violence. It takes a makal and gives a zetz on the legs, breaks the legs. Parasehin the hooves lo yuchlu lo leches ritzon loymar lo yichazek hanichsholim utesushe koyach. The shepherd does not strengthen those that are weak and feeble. The es hoashirim yashchis, and the animals that are wealthy, meaning the ones that are fat and good, he steals for himself. The yirde bom beferech, or he tortures. He tortures them with crushing labor. So we're describing over here, corruption. That's the bottom line. The next page, Pasuk Yitzayim, on page 829, Hoy Roy Ha'alil. Now Hashem says, let me explain to you what the message here is. Woe to this foolish shepherd. Oy L'cha'ata Roya Mibli Moyel. Woe to you, shepherd. Mibli Moyel Ho'izev Esatsoin V'Ho'alichlo. The one that does not, mibli moyil ho izev esatzayin v'halachlo, the one doesn't care. The word mibli moyil means is a fancy term in Hebrew to mean who couldn't care less. You don't care for the benefit of your followers. Ho izev esatzayin, you abandon your flock. V'halachlo, who is the nimshol? The al agripas hamelech yoymar. Ho acharon mimalchus beis churdis. Hordis was the beginning of the Malchus. Hordis was a slave. Hordis was a slave from the family of the Chashmonoim. And he rose up, they formed a coup. He rose up, he murdered all of his masters, and he took the daughter. The Gemara tells the daughter, there was a young girl, he wanted to marry her. The reason why he wanted to marry her is he wanted to legitimize his Malchus by claiming that he's married to a descendant of the Malchus of Chashmonoi. This young girl, when she saw that Hordis wanted to marry her, so she commits suicide. She commits suicide. Before she commits suicide, she made a public announcement. Her last post on Facebook stated, before Google took it down, before Facebook took it down, Mark
Zuckerberg,
before he took it down, the last thing she posted was, anyone that says that I am a descendant of the Malchus Beis Chashmonai is a liar. Right. Because I am the last descendant. All of my family has been murdered. And I'm the only one that's left. And he's planning to marry me. But I'm not going to let this happen. I'm going to commit suicide right now. So all of you people, all my followers should know that when I'm gone, there's no one left. And anyone that comes along and says he's a descendant is an imposter. And she then went to the roof. She clicked enter. She sent out her last post. And then she went to the roof and she commits suicide. Hordis was very upset about this. So what did he do? He took her body and he preserved her body in honey. He artificially preserved her body. Why? The Gemara has two opinions. One opinion is he's Baal Taiva. He wanted to live with her. And even though she was dead, it didn't matter. Baal Meshugra. Baal Taiva is a Baal Taiva. And the other opinion says he did not live with her. He just wanted to preserve her to make believe. Somehow he wanted a photo op. It's like, you know, Kim in North Korea. No one knows if he's alive or dead. Okay, no one knows. So they have pictures and they have this. They have his sister. No one knows what's really going on there. Okay, no one knows all the what's going on there. So the same, what the more things change, the more things stay the same. He preserved her. He preserved her in honey, probably for a photo op. Every once in a while, they cleaned off all the honey. They cleaned her up. They dressed her up. They put her down by the table. They propped her up, and she looked alive. When they took photographs, when CNN came and NBC came, and they came to give a photo op, it looked like she's alive. If she's alive, he's legit. He's legit because he's married to the descendant of the Chashmonaim. Like I told you, the more things change, the more things stay the same. But everyone knew the truth. The MS. MS Koi. You can't even we're here we are many years later and we know the truth that she was dead. She was dead.
Biden is preserved in honey, is that?
So Rabbi Chol is saying that Biden is preserved in honey. Okay, what's the difference between George Washington, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden? George Washington said, "I can't tell a lie." And Barack Obama said, "I can't tell the truth," and Biden said, "I don't know the difference." Okay, I hope we didn't insult any anyone over here in our audience.
Biden would understand it.
Let's go further. So this is let's go further over here. Hoy Roy back and one more time back to the Mr. Stubborn. Hoy Roy Elil Oil Khata Roy Bibli Hoil. Woe to you, the you shepherd who couldn't care less about the people. You don't care. Ha'oizev is that son Baholik Lival Agribus Amel Yamachar Malchus Base Hordis, Sha'ozav is Amo. Agrippus, he was, I guess, the son, the grandson, I'm not sure which level in the Malchus of Churdis. Agrippus was part of the last Malchus, an illegitimate Malchus, a Malchus that was not Jewish. They were not even Jews, and they were leading the Jewish people. This was a descendant, this was a third, fourth generation from Churdis, who illegally seized the Malchus from the Chashmonaim. And he was the pits, Agrippus. He abandoned the people. He did not do anything in their best interest.
His whole thing was he ingratiated himself
to the Romans.
Roman government.
Exactly.
And
he ingratiated himself and he brought the Romans in. He brought the Romans in, and that was the beginning of the end. So Sha'ozav es Amor of Eschaber im Aroimim, and he joined with the Romans, Kemo Sha'amru by Yosifun, like in Sefer Yosifun, where the story is presented. Jewish history. Okay, it's kedai to learn Jewish history. Cherev al Zeroy Oy. Here Hashem, the Navi, curses him. It says, Cherev Yavoy, may a sword come al Zeroy Oy. It's an Olaymar Koychoy, Yishaver Viyuchras. He curses him. May a sword come upon his right arm, may he be cut off, may he be removed from office. Val Ein Yiminoy, it's an Olaymar Masha Hoya Mistakel, Mabid, Umetzapel, Loshuv, Malhusoy. That when he was deposed, as Rav Chol says, we have to know the history. I don't know the history, but at some point in time, the Romans got rid of him. Okay, you get close to someone, and then they do you in. He got close to the Romans. He ingratiated himself with the Romans, and then the Romans decided, oh, you know what? Since you like us so much, we want you to step down. We want to replace you. And even when he was replaced, he always had hope that he would be restored. So it's Mistakel Mabit Sahi. May the sword come upon that hope. This is a very unique expression. Never saw such an expression. In the stuff it says a sword is going to be lifted against a person's hope. Normally when we have this term a sword is being lifted, being raised, it's to take away a person's accomplishments, to take away a davar sheyesh by mamish, but to use this concept of a sword being raised and shattering a person's hope is unique. And that's how the Mitzvah Stavit understands this pasuk. He was deposed by the Romans, but he still had hope of coming back, you know, get another term in office, and then they lifted up a sword to shatter the hope the hope that he can even return one day. They tried to impeach him when he was out of office. They tried to lift up that sword. It'll be cut down, the ain law, and it's no longer. Will become weak, Agrippus. Eyesight. He will not witness the hope, not witness the results that he yearned for. Careful in Shannon's poetic repetition to explain this idea. So let's review the words of the pasuk according to the Mizrach from the Rashi. Let's review these pasuk one more time. Understand the what it means according to the basic Yisrael.
Why Hashem put it in? Etc. As Hashem put him there. Why?
Why did Hashem put him there? Because we were not deserving. Right. It's all. Ein melech b'layam. The leader is a reflection of the people. It's because Klal Yisrael did not deserve better. When we were, when Klal Yisrael, when the Hamoin Am were Yirei Shemayim, upstanding people, we were deserving to be led by who? One king, David HaMelech, and Shlomo and Rechavam. When Klal Yisrael, when their Yirei Shemayim was diminished, then we had a split in the Malchus. There was Yehuda, and then there was Yeravam ben Nevat. There was a split. And then it got even worse. There was not even Jewish leadership. The Aseres HaShvatim disappeared. And then it got worse. And then there was the Chorban, but when they came back, it was still under the Malchus. There was still Zerubbabel and Nehemiah. It was still David HaMelech. And that lasted for a significant period of time, but then we were not even deserving of that. And we were led by Jews. At least we were on a level where we were led by Jews, but they were illegitimate. The Chashmonaim was not from Shevet Yehuda. So that's even a lower Madrega. And that, as we learned last week, was a transition into the next blow to Klal Yisrael, where we were led by non-Jews. Where we are today, where we have nothing. So it's basically a gradual decline. The Malchus of David, and let's even go a step back. I won't even go one step back. Who was before David? Hashem. And the Nevi'im, Shoftim. Hashem, what was the complaint? The complaint was when Klal Yisrael said to Shmuel, we want a melech. Shmuel, we went berserk. You want a melech? What do you think I am? Chop liver? I'm your melech. I'm your leader. I'm the Navi. I'm the Shofet. What kind of thing is this? So Shmuel complains bitterly to Hashem. So Hashem says to Shmuel, what, they're insulting you? There's an insult to me. What about me, Hashem says? Why do you even need a melech? Why can't I, Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, be the melech? You should not need to come on to a human being to lead you. Everyone should acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech Malchei Hamlachim, and just do what Hashem wants from you. You don't even need to have a human being lead you. So the fact they're coming to ask for a melech is not a rejection against you, Shmuel. It's a rejection against my leadership. Okay, these are psukim in Sefer Shmuel. So what do we take out of this? There was a gradual, Jewish history presents us with a gradual decline in who is the leader of the Jewish people. The leader of the Jewish people is nothing more than a reflection of the status, of the integrity, and the Yirah Shemayim of the followers. Originally, we had no melech. Hashem was the melech. Vayehi v'shurun melech. Who was the melech? Some say Moshe, but some say Hashem. Hashem is the melech. Hashem yimloich li oylam boet. Hashem melech, Hashem melech, Hashem yimloich. In Kriyas Yamsuf, what did Klal Yisrael say? They said, Hashem yimloich li oylam boet. The melech is Hashem. We don't need you, Moshe. Hashem is the melech. On Pesach, you don't mention Moshe. Hashem is the melech. Aniv loy malach, aniv loy shliach, aniv loy sof, aniv loy acher. V'zehu. But then what happened? Then we needed a little chizuk. A little shtickle chizuk. We had to come on to Moshe. We had to come on to the Shoftim. We had to come on to the Nevi'im. And then came a blow where we had to come on to a melech, basar v'dam, a regular melech. the Malchus of David. Okay, David HaMelech. And then, unfortunately, that didn't last forever. And then there's Reya Machloikis, and when there's Ein, Shnei, Milochim, Mishamshim, Bekeser Echad. Once there's a split, it's not the same. The fact that there's a Malchus of Yisrael is a tremendous weakening in the Malchus of Yehuda. The Malchus of Yehuda is severely weakened when there's another Malchus in Klal Yisrael. And then even that was weakened when was weakened even further when 10/12 of the Jewish people disappeared. So there's no one to lead. There's no one to be led because everyone's gone. And then there's a Chorbin. And then there's the rebuilding. It was not the same. There was no Shem and Amishcha. It wasn't the same type of Malchus. It was a Malchus where we had to watch our backs from the Persians. And that was the Malchus of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah. And from that went that Malchus lasted for almost 200 years. And then that came to an end. And then came a new blow, a new lowliness, where we were no longer being led by a legitimate Malchus. But at least we were being led by Jews, by the Chashmonoim. At least they were Jews. They were illegitimate, but they were Jews. And then that came to an end. And now we stooped even lower to be led by an Eved, someone who's not even a Jew, an impostor, Hordas, and all of his descendants. And then that got even worse, where at least he was an Eved. An Eved is, you know, an Eved Kanani. He's at least, you know, he has Tevila. He goes to Mikvah, Bris Milah. The Romans came. Arelim came in. People who don't even have Bris Milah. Goyim came in. They became the rulers. And then they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And here we are today, wandering in Golus 1,951 years. There's nothing. Hefkeros. Everyone is fighting. Everyone has their Rebbe, their Rav, their Rabbi. Everyone knows better. Everyone is their own Rabbi. Everyone, Ish HaYosha Be'ein of Yaseh. That's what we're holding today. The leader is a reflection of the people. I always like to say this when you talk about drivers. I really believe there's a lot of truth, the same idea. It used to be back in the day that, you know, a nobleman or a noble woman, when they traveled, how do they travel? They were carried by human beings. It sounds to us barbaric, right? Barbaric that a human being would carry another human being. But that's how it was. A king didn't go in a wagon pulled by horses. You don't go by a ferd is gonna guide a diplomat. A person, a nobleman, was literally carried by people. You see this in the movies, right? You see this in the movies. Certain people, they're carried by a human. Why? Because people used to be of stature. They had chashivas. And one human being, it was an exalted level where it was worthy that another human being serve him. Slavery. It used to be that we were royal. The Chofetz Chaim says this. People were Yirei Shamayim. They were literally the Tzelem Elokim. And therefore it's fitting that another human being who is not on that level should serve you, should be your slave. But what happened is Skatnu Hadayros. No longer were we deserving that human beings should serve us. So the slavery came to an end. In all different levels, but at least we had animals. When you went on a trip, what's more bakovedic? For a horse to take you to your destination, or a driver or a car should take you to your destination? A horse. It's much more bakovedic to go by a horse. Why? It's a living creature. A car is just a bunch of steel and metal. It's a doimim. A horse is at least a chai. It's not a medaber, it's not a slave, but at least it's a chai. So when a horse, a team of horses, carries you to your destination, that's choshev. A chai is taking you to your destination. Niskadnu hadoros, they killed all the horses. Okay, all the horses are gone. When was the last time you saw a horse? Think about it. When was the last time you saw a horse? When was the last time you went to the zoo? No more horses. So what now? We have cars. But at least there's a nahag. There's a driver. there's a human being who sits in the car and drives the steering wheel. It's choshev, right? Now, no more. No. Now we're going to a new era. It's not a maila to have a driverless car. It's not a maila. It's an indication that man has become so lowly, that we're not even worthy that a human being should sit at the controls and guide that piece of metal. It's not a maila, it's a chasar, and it's an indication of how low we've become. We don't even deserve that. Driverless cars. Printing. It used to be a book. How do you write a book? No printing press. Why? Because they didn't have technology? That's not the only reason. The word that was put on a page had value. When you put letters on a page to record, a real human being thinks, has a machshava, and writes it down with a koyach yodai. There's a human element in writing, on paper. And by the way, the parchment, living creature, an animal. An animal is meiser nefesh. It gives up its life. You can use my hide, a living creature, so you can preserve. Man yamdu yamim rabim, a sefer Torah, piece of parchment, a living creature, a human being, who sits with kavana and writes, has kavana, l'shem kedush Hashem. You know what that is? That's unbelievable. A sefer Torah is an object that came from a living creature and a human being, a bar Yisrael, who is a Yorish Shemayim, who said l'shem kedusha sefer Torah, l'shem kedusha Hashem. He wrote every letter in the sefer Torah. That's unreal. But what happened? We live now, a time came when man has lowered himself to become like an animal, and we're no longer deserving that we should have human beings writing books. So we have machines, the printing press. The printing press. But at least the printing press, you know, the plates, every single letter was put in position by a typesetter. The plates were, it was a tedious process. At every time they give a print, they press down hard. There was human element. And then we got to a lower level. We're not even worthy of that. Photo offset. No human input, it's just a computer. And now we've got to such a low state where everything is on a glass screen. It's not, there's no mamash davar she'ein bei mamash. It's unbelievable. And now they're coming to a new level where now the new technology, give it a couple of years, holograms. In a couple of years, there's not going to be any more, no more glass. Glass is out. It's basically an image appears in thin air. Holograms. Mamish, a davar she'ein bei mamish, literally. Is it a maila or is it a chasarin? It's a chasarin. It means man has gotten to such a low, a human being is not even worthy that the doimeim in this world should serve him. There's normally a procession. There is doimeim, tzoymeach, chai medaber. It used to be that a person was choshev. He was deserving of having slaves, deserving. As history has progressed, we think it's a maila. We've advanced in society where technology has enabled us to do. It's not necessarily a maila that Hashem gave us the technology. Hashem is giving us the technology as a way of telling us, you don't deserve to abuse my creation. Who do you think you are, man, to kill an animal, to take its hide, to write on the hide your mishigasim? Who do you think you are? You want to go write Epicursus? And you want to go take a living creature and kill it and take its hide and make a book to write nonsense? Who do you think you are? You want to destroy my world? How dare you? You know what? I'll give you technology. You can have your iPad. And your computer and your this and your that, so you don't have to go kill my living creatures. You can focus on the doimeim. It's not necessarily a maila. Who do you think you are that another human being should drive the car for you? Who do you think you are? What are you, a king? And the Uber guy, the Uber driver, Are you deserving that an Uber driver should drive the car for you? The Uber guy, Uber Eats, should go deliver you supper? Who do you think you are? For all the money in the world, you don't deserve another human being to serve you in this fashion. For all the money in the world. So we'll have driverless cars. You press a button and it comes, a robot will bring you the food. We'll make the food. It's not a milah. It's not a milah. It's a chasaron, that man is worthless. Man has no dignity, no value. That's my take on it, and that's going down a level from what we're learning over here in the Mitzvah stuff, describing leadership, the leadership of Klal Yisrael from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, from the moment of Hashem Yimloich Li Oilam Voed, all the way down to Agrippas. The Churban Bayis Sheni was a steady decline in who our leader is. Hashem, Moshe, Shoftim, Neviim, a Melech, and then a split in the Malchus, a loss of half the Malchus, and then a semi-Malchus that doesn't have Shem and HaMishcha, and then Chashmonoim, who are illegitimate, but at least they're Jews, to Avodim, to the Romans, to nothing. It's a steady decline. And the steady decline is not because the leaders are no good, it's because we're no good. Ein melech beloy am. The leaders are only a reflection of who are being led. Okay, we discussed that.
It probably works both ways, though.
I mean, yeah, okay, to a degree, yeah, to a degree. A melech can lift people up.
But, like, you know, you say if you get the government, you deserve.
And we discussed this, the same principle when it comes to currency, when it comes to coinage, which today there's the major trend. It cannot be denied. The United States of America is literally losing their mind over cryptocurrency. Because cryptocurrency is the same idea. You're losing the centralized authority of value. And cryptocurrency is an amazing concept where money is based on trust. Who do you trust? You trust the government. Every country is choshev. Every country is choshev. United States is choshev. So you trust them. If they tell you a dollar is a dollar, you trust them. Switzerland is a country. You trust them. Israel has a country. You trust them. That is a noble concept, to trust in an authority. And now currency, it's gradually happening very quickly, but it's happening very quickly, is no more. There's going to be a global currency called cryptocurrency, where the whole nature is you don't trust anyone. There is no central authority. Everyone, it's trusting, it's one man against another man. And in fact, there's no trust because it's designed in a way where it's basically, you can't rig the system. I don't know all the problem, but the basic idea is of cryptocurrency, there is no central authority in whom you trust. Every person is basically trusting the whole world. You're all in it together. There is no centrality. You're trusting yourself, basically. You're trusting yourself. You are decentralizing. That is not a mila. That is a chasaron. That is an expression where an absence of dignity, of where you value something in this world other than yourself. These are all signs of the time. Signs of the time of a gradual moral decay in the world as we come to the times of Mashiach. Okay, let's go to the Rashi. Rashi, we have to read the pasuk. We're about to read the pasuk. Yes, that question mark. That's we got distracted, but not distracted. I think it's a very important one. But let's read the pasuk. The pasukim again. According to the Mitzvah of David, Vayomer Hashem Elai. Hashem said to me, Oid, Kach Lecha. I want you again. Oid. What's the word Oid? So I think the word Oid. I didn't be able to explain this clearly, but Oid means this is Makel number 3. Makel number 3, Noyam, Choyvlim, and now it's going to be called the Kli of the Roye Evili. Like a baseball bat. A tippish, you have no idea what a tippish is going to do. You go tell a fool to be a shepherd, So what will he do? I need a stick. He'll go into his basement, take out a baseball bat. You don't use a baseball bat to lead sheep. Because if you use a baseball bat, you're going to hurt them. Sheep need a certain type of makel. But a shoite, that's what a shoite does. He does foolish things. And that's what it says over here. Od kach lecha, take kli. It's not even a makel of a roye evili, of an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing altogether. Ki, he neonechi make him roye ba'aretz. I'm going to establish, according to the mitzvah of the Stavid, the last malchus, the malchus of Hordis. He's learning the timeline. This is very critical because all of the Mepharshim have a different understanding of the time period, the historical period of when this, when these psukim are being described. I will establish in the land, a shepherd who's going to be a fool, basically. And that's going to be Hordis, who is an Evet, a slave, an Evet Kenani. Hanichadoid, what are the consequences? Hanichadoid lo yifkoid. If you notice, the Ta'ameh HaMikra, that's what threw me off very much. The Ta'ameh HaMikra here do not fit to the parish of the Mitzudoid Stavit. No big deal. This only happens 100 times. But the Ta'ameh HaMikra do not conform. Hanichadois lo yifkoit. The animals, the sheep that are lost, will not be searched for. Hanar, an animal that's young and weak and feeble, lo yivakesh, it will not be sought after. Vahanishperes, an animal that broke its foot, lo yirape, will not be sent to the vet. Hanitzava, an animal that stands alone, apart, because the animal is not well, lo yichalkel, no one is going to sustain it. Ubisar habriya, the fatty meat, yoichal, he will steal, the shepherd will, no one's watching, will slaughter the animal, have a delicious lunch and dinner. Upar sehen yiforek, he will abuse the animals he does not like and break their feet. And Hashem now says, what is this all a message to? This is all a mashal for Hordis. Hordis is a rotten apple. His leadership is corrupt, thoroughly corrupt and destructive. Hoi, woe, roi hoalil, woe to the shepherd, the fool. He's called a fool, the foolish shepherd. Oizvi hatsayin, the one who has abandoned the sheep. Chedev, and what will happen to you in consequence for your actions? You will be destroyed. You will be deposed. Chedev al ziroi, a sword will come upon your right arm. V'al ein yimino, and upon your eye, your eyesight, your hope. And then when you will be deposed, the repetition according to the Mitzvah Stavit is indicating that when you will be deposed and you will have a make an attempt to make a comeback, that will be smashed, that will be squashed. When you attempt, zero yavoish tivosh will wither out. The ein yimino in your right eye, your hope of coming back will be kohoi sichem, will be dimmed. Alright, we're gonna stop over here, take a very short break, and afterwards we're going to talk about Yoim Hazi Karoim. What's the correct term for the Chayolim and for the victims of terror? Today in Eretz Yisrael is a very solemn day, and we're going to talk about that in a few moments when we come back. You don't have to be a Zionist to commemorate Yoim Hazi Karoim. You can always commemorate Tsaris. Tsaris is a universal issue. It doesn't make a difference whether you're a Haredi or a Chiloni or a Tzioni. Rachman al-Litzan, that's the unifier of Rachman al-Litzan is Tzaris. And that, unfortunately, there's plenty to go around. So we'll discuss that in a few moments.
Mr. Kayak, I was saying that, I think it was Yecheskel, that they had the Kushi that was a servant to him. So he's one of he didn't die. He went to Shemayim. So, because you mentioned about the
Chassidi Umay Soilam.
Was it he?